Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County. With your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest positively impacting our community. Today, I welcome 22-year pancreatic cancer survivor, Roberta Luna. She advocates for the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, known as PanCAN, and its mission to fight pancreatic cancer. Roberta also hosts the weekly OC Talk Radio show, Living Hope, Your Journey with Pancreatic Cancer. She's encouraging participation in the PanCAN Purple Stride on Saturday, April 27th, at the Honda Center in Anaheim and at 60 sites across the nation. Thank you, Roberta, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you, Don, for having me back. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you again, and be on this side of the mic is weird, but it's good to see you.
Oh, you'll be great. Roberta, please tell us your pancreatic cancer story of how you discovered you had the disease, living with it, and your determination to help others.
It was just something that, you know, I was very young. I didn't know what cancer was, and I certainly didn't understand what my grandmother was going through, my dad's mother. But she died when I was 9, and I remember her always being very happy, and, you know, she was a great grandma, just, you know, always teaching us to cook and to paint and just to do all kinds of things. And she hid her illness very well. I never really realized that she was sick. It wasn't until years later when my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and actually it was after his death at his memorial service that my uncle, his older brother, came up and said, you know, that's what your grandmother died from, was pancreatic cancer. And I never had a clue. Like I said, being young, you know, you don't think about cancer and you certainly don't know the different kinds, but just not realizing and then thinking, wow, if my dad has died with pancreatic cancer and my grandmother has died with pancreatic cancer, what is the chance, or what is, you know, is it hereditary, or what do I need to do? Do I need to do anything, find out anything? And I actually contacted my doctor, and I wasn't having any symptoms or anything, but I just told him, I said, you know, I just found out my dad, you know, recently passed with pancreatic cancer. And it was during his memorial service I found out that's what his mother had died from years earlier. Is there anything that I need to do or to watch for? And was told, don't worry about it, hon, you're too young and it's not hereditary. And this was in 1998. So honestly, I never really thought about it again. And even before my dad's history with it, I never even thought about pancreatic cancer until I heard about Michael Landon being diagnosed earlier. He was on the Johnny Carson show and came out and said, you know, he had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, but he got down and did push-ups. And I thought, wow, you know, if this man could survive, that would be awesome. I remember Googling it and thinking that was probably the biggest mistake I ever made, because the information I was getting was very poor. Didn't sound like there was any hope. And I didn't really think about it again after Michael Landon died until my dad was diagnosed, and then doing the research again and finding out that sadly nothing had changed except more people were being diagnosed and more people were dying. And I just couldn't understand how that could be with so many years separate. You think something would have changed by then. But going back and speaking to my doctor and asking again, what do I need to do, and being told, don't worry about it, it's not hereditary, I didn't think about it again. I really didn't, until my uncle, my dad's baby brother, and I, we actually both got sick around the same time. It was October 2001. But the symptoms were so vague that I think, you know, for me, I pretty much ignored them, as did my uncle. And as it progressed, it was in January of 2002, my uncle calls me and says, hey, Squirt, I hate to tell you this, but they're telling me I have pancreatic cancer, and go home, put my house in order. We didn't know what to do, where to turn to at that time. And, you know, we thought, well, we've got to find out something, and still not a lot of information out there. My uncle died pretty much the way my dad did, within a couple of weeks. And it was very painful for both of them. Something that I remember and sticks with me. And I wish there was something we could have done about the pain, because it was horrible. As the time went on, this happened. I lost my uncle in January. And I was still not feeling well. And the doctor says, you know, let's just wait and see. But I was concerned. I didn't want to wait and see. I said, you know, I just lost my third family member to pancreatic cancer. What is the chances that I could, you know, have it? And was told again, don't worry about it, hon. You're too young and it's not hereditary. When my doctor said, let's just wait and see, I'm not the wait and see type. And I really kind of angered me that he was just willing to let it go and see what happened. So over time, I finally decided, you know, this is enough. We need to do something. I went, visited him again, and said, you know, I'm not a hypochondriac. I never complain. I need to do something. We need to find out. I don't want to see my family go through with me what we went through with my dad. It was horrible for my two young sons and my husband and myself to witness. My dad was probably 6'1", I would say, and weighed 175 pounds. We saw him get down to 70 pounds. It was horrible to watch a man so active. He was never sick a day in his life. I never even saw him take an aspirin. So to be suddenly, you know, there and then suddenly gone and to see the pain and what he'd gone through, I didn't want that for my family. So I just took my checkbook, tore off a check, and said, we need to start testing, looking for pancreatic cancer. I know he did it probably just to, you know, shut me up, and I wish that would have been the case. But, you know, when all the results came in and he had me come back into the office, you kind of know before they even say anything, because it was the same thing as with my dad. The doctors don't look at you in the eyes. They're looking at the floor as they're walking towards you. He sat down, grabbed my hand, and said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it is pancreatic cancer. And as you know, because of your own family history, nobody survives this. So you need to go home and get your affairs in order. Get your house in order is actually what he said. That angered me in some ways, but in some ways I think that gave me the reason or the need that I needed to fight. What I can say from my doctor is that he, not knowing anything about pancreatic cancer, did reach out to a doctor that he'd gone to school with and said, you know, I have this unique patient. What do I do with her? And from there, they started chemo within the week. In fact, it started the next week. So it was a very fast process at some point, but in some ways, it's also very slow. It took them over 6 months to diagnose my dad. And I think I was only diagnosed early because I was persistent. You shouldn't have to fight as hard as we did to get a diagnosis that nobody wants.
You see, the pain was faint. Where did you have the pain? Where did your uncle have the pain?
My uncle's pain, you know, it was really hard because he was just like my dad. He didn't really talk about it a lot. He wouldn't really say a whole lot. But from when we did see him, it would seem like with my dad, it was in the stomach area, because I can remember my dad kind of pulling his, you know, waistband away from his stomach and kind of, you know, trying to make room there, like, so nothing would touch. And I'm assuming my uncle probably had the same kind of pain from what he, talked about. Mine wasn't as bad. It was more like indigestion or like, you know, eating certain foods or, you know, nausea. And at first, I think the doctors even thought maybe I was pregnant. But that unfortunately wasn't the case. And, you know, just the pain. And for some people, like my mom, when she was diagnosed, she really didn't have a lot of pain. But my dad was in extreme pain. My uncle, I would say mine was moderate. But it's something that you learn to adjust to, because you don't want it to rule your life. You want to continue to live the best you can. So I think it's kind of hard. I think your mind, your body, you start to adjust and you start to deal with a lot. So what becomes minimal pain, maybe for somebody else, can be very extreme. But I think you learn to live with it because you want to have, you know, as normal life as you can.
Were you diagnosed at a particular stage?
It's funny. I always thought it was stage one because it was so early. But I found out a couple of years later it was actually a stage three, because my tumor is located. It's surgically unable to be removed now. I'm still living with it with all this time, but it is dormant. But it was staged three because it involves the main veins and the artery that runs through the pancreas.
So describe pancreatic cancer if you can.
It's difficult. I mean, I think because it's different for a lot of us, it's different. Like I say, some people, my mom had no pain. Others I know have pain. Some have pain, experience pain in the back. There's also difficulty, you know, with eating. Sometimes you're nauseous, you can throw up, there's constipation, diarrhea, pain in the back, where a lot of times people will think it's just a pulled muscle. So it's like the tiredness and depression, which I still have a little difficulty understanding, because I always thought, well, the depression must come from, you know, getting the diagnosis. But I've talked to a lot of people who said they were actually depressed before even getting the diagnosis. So there's a lot of symptoms there, but they're just so vague that it's really hard to pinpoint. And I think that's why it's so hard to diagnose, because the symptoms are so vague, and the fact of where your pancreas is. Your pancreas lays more towards your back area, so it's behind the stomach. So just laying down, unless it's really a huge tumor, they're probably not going to find it if they're poking around on your stomach. But a lot of people, like I said, do have back pain because it lays more towards your back area.
What's the survival rate?
I want to say unfortunately, but I mean, it's 13%, but that's better than what it has been. When I was diagnosed, it was 4%. So we have come up. But it's still, in my term, I know I should be happy that it's 13%, and I'm happy that it's coming up, but it's still unacceptable. We have so many cancers out there that have made big moves. I don't understand why we're not making those big moves, why we can't seem to get, you know, why it's taking so long. It's been, we stayed maybe 5% for a number of years and then finally, you know, started pushing up. But I'm happy that it's doing that, but we need it to be higher than a 13% survival rate.
And you're at 22 years.
Yes, I'm, I guess, an oddity in some ways. I've been surviving for 22 years. I've changed my attitude and say it's living with me. I'm no longer living with it. It's living with me for 22 years. And you can ask Vic at some point, that's not always easy, Vic being my husband. And why? You know, I mean, I get asked that a lot from people. It's like, why are you still surviving and my loved one didn't? And I wish I had an answer for them. But the only thing I can think of is my work here, or God's not done with me, however you want to look at it. My time here isn't done yet. And I will be here and fight as long as I can.
Talk about PanCAN.
PanCAN, or the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, was formed many years ago. And it's been a wonderful experience, a wonderful nonprofit organization. They have a fantastic patient services, and it's free to patients and their families. So all you need to do is you call them, or you go online at pancan.org and let them know the information you need. Like I said, you can call and talk to a patient service representative, and they will help you if you want to find doctors in your area. They don't do any recommendations, but they can compile a list of experienced doctors and experienced medical centers, because that's something you want. You want somebody experienced. I just got lucky that my doctor cared enough, even though he didn't have a clue, he cared enough to go out and try to find information for me. PanCAN does that for you. You know, they, like I said, you give them a call, you tell them, are you willing to travel, give them some information, and they'll help you find what you need to get you through this journey as well with your family.
Explain Purple Stride.
Purple Stride, it's a great event. We've been doing it, I want to say, 15, 16 years now, I believe. This will be our 16th Purple Stride. This one, I mean, they're all special, but this one is a little bit special as well, because this is actually PanCAN's 25th anniversary year. So it makes it a little special that PanCAN's been around for 25 years. Purple Stride, for us, has been around for 16. There may be some other ones that are longer, but ours has been for 16 years now. And it's a wonderful experience to come together, meet other survivors, also meet other family members. Maybe a lot of those have lost somebody. But it's a way to experience some hope and give inspiration to others and to come together and know that when you first get that diagnosis, you feel alone. I'm sure then the families do as well. But you can come to Purple Stride and you're meeting other people that maybe our stories are a little bit different, but there's a common thread there. And we connect really well. And we become a family I always say nobody wants to be a part of, but we're still a family. And once you connect with us, we're there for you. And it's a wonderful experience. We have a kids purple play zone that one of our Chapman University group comes out and takes care of. And sometimes they do experiments with the kids or just do different things, but they involve the children are very important. So they're involved in this. And the walk is a great way, like I said, to meet others. And this year we're at the Honda Center. And it's just going to be, it's a new venue for us, but it's going to be fantastic, and we're just looking forward to it.
How long is the walk?
The walk is a 5K, but we do have a turnaround, so I believe it's a mile in. But it's an easy trail, so if you can't do the full thing, you can turn around at any point in time. And there'll be plenty of volunteers on the route that can help you if you need help, you know, getting back to where the village, what we call our Purple Stride Village, is.
What are the hours?
The village will open at 7:30, and opening ceremonies, I believe, is at 9, and the walk will begin at 9:30.
And it will be at 60 sites across the United States, right?
Yeah, almost every state will have at least one, maybe two. I know in California we have quite a few. So if you're not in this area, you can just go to purplestride.org and put in your area, and they'll find a Purple Stride for you.
Is there a cost to be in it?
No, registration is free. However, if you do raise or self-donate $50, you do get an event t-shirt. And then if you are able to raise $1,000, you become a Grand Club member, and there's a hoodie that you get that says Grand Club on it, and also a little lapel pin that you can wear as well.
Now, you host a weekly show on OC Talk Radio. Tell us about your show. We just heard something today about your show, so share with us.
Yeah, it's I'm not sure how much Paul wants me to relate or not, but it's been an awesome experience. I know a lot of people wonder why would anybody want to listen to a show that talks and deals with pancreatic cancer, But and I do have to give Don, I have to thank you for giving me that opportunity to do that. I want to give that shout out, and also Paul for going along with it. But I feel like I need to do more. I need to reach people. I need to let them know that you're not alone. There's many of us, and our journey or story doesn't always end the way we want it to, but those stories are still important. A lot of the guests that I have on, unfortunately, have lost somebody, but their story is still important, and somebody can gain something from it and learn something from it, and also know I'm not alone. There are people out there that feel like I do, and I can possibly, hopefully, reach out to them and, you know, talk to them and hopefully find a way to get through this journey and come out with something positive.
But you haven't really told us that it jumped in your number 4 out of how many shows?
Yeah, out of 74. It was funny. I think it was one of my nurses probably said, you know, I Googled. I wanted to know what podcast to listen to for pancreatic cancer, and was quite surprised that it came up as number 4 out of 74 podcasts that are, you know, related to pancreatic cancer. And I think ours is a little different in a way that, yes, my story does come out, but it's not just my story, or it's not just being hosted by, you know, medical professionals. It's being hosted by a survivor who has on other survivors, people, you know, caregivers, people who have lost somebody. We've had researchers on, we've had doctors on, we've had therapists on. We've looked at the different resources of maybe trying, I think it's called Reiki, different things of, you know, alternative medicine. You know, we try to present all sides, so we are careful not to recommend anything, though most of the things, to be honest with you, I try them out first. So, which has been great, because, you know, I've been able to kind of try it out before, you know, coming and talking about, because I kind of want to know what it's like. And if it's something too weird, I certainly don't want to, you know, divulge into it. But everything I've done, I walked away with having some kind of positive feeling with it. So I just think we need the resources that we can count on and trust. And, you know, we've even you know, brought in other nonprofits who are doing wonderful things to let people know what's out there, so you can make that choice for whatever might work best for you.
How can they listen to it?
They can listen to it on OC Talk Radio. I think it's Biz. They can go to OC Talk Radio's YouTube channel. It's also on Living Hope's Facebook. And then you can also get it on different podcasts. And we are bringing our website up as well. Living Hope has a website, and you can also find a lot of the episodes there, and we'll get them all there at some point.
What has been a benefit to you for doing the podcast?
Well, for one, it's something that to be honest, I never even listened to a podcast before this opportunity came. But it's given me a reason, it's given me something to reach out to hopefully give somebody, like if I can give them 1 ounce of hope or 1 little bit of inspiration so they don't feel alone, it makes me feel like I'm doing something. This is a difficult disease. When you're first diagnosed, you feel like you have no control. This has given me some control. To be able to share other stories and just to let people know I care. I want to help you the best way I can. And if that's to offer to let you come and share your story, then that's what we need to do.
And when someone finds out they have pancreatic cancer and they tell others, how should others react to them?
That's a good question. And it's really hard because it's so different for everybody. Be as supportive as you can. I mean, you know, for myself, I needed to know all aspects of my disease, but that doesn't mean I need to hear it all the time. I think the worst thing to say to somebody is, oh, I knew my uncle had pancreatic cancer and died. I think that would be that's like one of the worst things to tell somebody who's facing it is not a positive. So the best thing to do is, you know, offer anything positive. Ask them, what can I do for you? What can I do to help your family? How can I be here for you? Just know that I care. Give them a hug. I mean, they're not going to break. They're not contagious. Don't change the way you act towards them. And a lot of times that happens.
You're a 22-year pancreatic cancer survivor. Do you know many who are in the same category?
Actually, I've met quite a few that are even, I don't want to say older, but yeah, have been surviving longer than I have. I've met somebody who's a 35, a 40, 25 years. So I'm seeing it. I'm hearing more of them, and we'll be having more of them on Living Hope as well, because they are reaching out to me now that they know that I'm here. So that's been a real benefit, is to have others actually reach out to me and say, hey, I want to come and do Living Hope. So that's been a real joy to know that maybe I'm helping somebody. I mean, we don't know why we're put here on this earth. I think one reason is to help others.
Well, as you've been journeying with the disease, at what point do you realize, hey, I'm going to live long with this?
Well, I've already decided I'm going to live to be 100 at least. But it's just doing what I can to make sure, you know, I need to start taking a little bit better care of myself as well. Because I think after a while, you kind of forget and you kind of think, oh, yeah, I can do anything. So sometimes I slack a little bit, but I need to get back on track and do the things as far as, you know, watching more, you know, a healthy diet and getting back onto the exercise program I was doing, the walking, and just not being quite so nonchalant about it, but just to do whatever I can do to, you know, to I plan to be here for a long time.
Now, the goal of Purple Stride is?
The goal of Purple Stride, for one, is to fundraise. And, you know, that is really, for me, it's one of the hardest things, I think, is to ask people to donate. I have a hard time asking people for money. But you have to stop and realize, without money, we need the money so that we can have the survivors, because we need more research. We need to find out, you know, what is the main cause of pancreatic cancer? Or why do some survive and others don't? We need to be able to offer them better, you know, treatment methods, better, you know, if there's better surgery that we can do, more knowledge. It's just something that is really important. And like I say, it's really difficult to ask. But without this money, we're not gonna have more survivors. And it's just really important to donate. I mean, again, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do, is to ask anybody for money. But without it, you are not going to see the survival rate increase at all.
But on that one day, 60 sites, on April 27th, 60 sites are going to have a Purple Stride. About how much do you think they'll raise on that day?
I don't know. I know they have a goal. And to be honest with you, off the top of my head, I don't remember what the goal is. But I know a lot of them are doing really well. And, you know, it's just something, it's not only just the fundraising, it's also about bringing the awareness to the disease. You're going to see a bunch of people out there. Purple is the color for pancreatic cancer awareness. So you will see a lot of the participants wearing purple. Some do their own team colors. Some survivors are in white. But it's a good way to meet, like I said, to meet others and to get that hope across that, yes, we can survive.
Okay, we talk about Paul. Paul is the owner of OC Talk Radio. And normally he's not on my show, but I'm going to let him be on the show since we did bring up his name. Paul Roberts,
thank
OC
you.
Talk Radio General Manager.
I just wanted to thank you for the kind words you gave us and tell everybody. It is the most amazing show. I couldn't believe anybody would listen to this show. Forget about multiple times, even once, because it is such a depressing topic. At that time, 95 or 90% of people don't make it who have this disease. What I found invigorating, exciting, interesting, it is real people telling real stories. And isn't that what we're all hungry for these days? Don't give me the sugar-coated, the fairy tale. It's not just fake hope, nor is it down and depressed. It's just real people talking about what they're really going through. And sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's hopeful, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's interesting, sometimes it's hard to fathom. You know, it's so much more. It's a perfect example of what this medium was built for. Real people telling real stories. And I just want to do that shout out. And the other reason is you're ignoring the big story in the room. But talk about what you just did this weekend. You jump out of an airplane. This is somebody who should be celebrating. I beat the unbeatable odds. And now, but let me see if I can double down and jump out of an airplane here. Why? What? And talk about that.
Okay.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I on Saturday, I completed my 10th jump. And I did it. There was a group of five of us. Usually we get together every April. This is my way of it. I know it sounds weird, right? Celebrating life by jumping out of a plane. But first, it is not
doing something death defying to celebrate that you didn't, that you made it another year here. Right.
Well, for one, it's not, you know, the misconception. It's not a perfectly good plane, though. This year's plane was much better than previous years. But generally, they're rickety and you can't wait to get out. But there's something about standing. We've gone as high as 14,000 feet. Standing out there, and when they open that door, that rush of, I mean, it's freezing cold air that just hits you, it slaps you in the face, and it's just like, I mean, it makes you appreciate, hey, I'm alive, it makes you feel alive. And but if you can, for me, if I can stand there and jump, yes, I have somebody tied to me, but there's no mattress, there's no net to catch me just in case things don't go well, right? But if I can do that, pancreatic cancer can't do anything to me. I can withstand whatever it has to offer me. I can do whatever it is. And I've had a few people tell me, you know, there's a saying that says something, they whispered to her, you cannot withstand the storm. She whispered back, I am the storm. And that's what people have related to me, and I really appreciate that. But there's just something about that experience of jumping out of that plane, and for that moment, I am as close to God as I can be for that moment. And it's just exhilarating. I can't really, it's one of those things, you have to do it to experience it. It's really hard to explain, but this year we had five that jumped with me, and three of them were first-time jumpers, and that's our goal, is to always take a first-time jumper and a survivor. So we met our goal, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Well, Dawn says she's going next time. If you can do it, she can do it.
Well, maybe we'll take Paul with us.
No,
right?
Not me.
Come on, he's going to throw you under the bus. We might as well take him with us.
No way.
Right? Aren't you fearful at all?
Well, you know what? I am nervous every time I go up. I mean, like I said, this is my 10th time, but I'm still sick to my stomach. I am nervous, but there's just something about conquering that nervousness and getting up there. And like I say, doing it. If I can do that, I mean, pancreatic, I don't want to say it's a piece of cake, but I can do whatever it throws at me.
I say it's the other way. If you can beat pancreatic cancer, then jumping out of a plane is minor.
Maybe that's another way to look at it. Yeah. It's just the opposite. But it just makes me feel that, and that is something that I feel like I'm in control at that moment as well. And that's an important thing, is bringing back the control. But there's just something exhilarating about it, just something. And you get out there, and it's just so peaceful and beautiful. And I can't. It's hard to put in words. I know people think.
Is it on YouTube? Can they go see it somewhere here?
I don't.
It will be.
It probably will be. Yes, it will be coming up. And then I have a short clip that I'll be putting on probably on Living Hope's Facebook. So.
Okay. Well, speaking of Living Hope, I do want to say that if you want to get to know Roberta well, which I get to, you can do it many ways. You can see her YouTube show. You can listen to her podcast. And you can go to Purple Stride Saturday, April 27th at the Honda Center. So thank you, 22-year pancreatic cancer survivor Roberta Luna, for being on Impact OC. Thank you, Paul Roberts, for giving your 2 cents. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.